What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Meet me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70, at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Alan Medlock, a Medlock1 on Twitter, at the Redbird Daily, when he's writing. Alan, I guess maybe we should kick this off. It is Players Weekend. You know, we're seeing, we got a preview of that last Sunday with the Cardinals on ESPN playing in the Little League game. But they got the names, they've got the, you know, the kind of the jerseys and the shoes and all that kind of stuff, and they've got nicknames on the back of at least some of these jerseys. If you were to have a nickname on a jersey, what was yours going to be?
Oh man, mine would have to be, I'm sure somebody would say redneck or, you know, one of those hick, you know, one of those, something like that, sticks. Probably nothing inventive. It would probably be more of a somebody slinging mud at me.
Yeah, I didn't know if you have any, you know, tied to your name one way or another. Or,
yeah, no, not really. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay.
When you're an Allen and you're a big guy, it's always a big Allen. That's not very.
That's
inventive.
True. That's true. But you know, it's not a bad one either. So
yeah.
Anyway, well, like I said, we're talking about Players Weekend, but we're talking about the Cardinals, who are, as we're talking at this moment, in the top of the ninth in a game against the Rays that they are losing. And unfortunately, over the stretch of this week, that has been a common occurrence. Cardinals dropped 2 of 3 to the Padres and now are just a few outs away from opening this series with the Rays with a loss as well, pushing them back to the 500 level, someplace that they haven't been since they crossed it, in during that 8-game winning streak. But, you know, Alan, it feels like anything that came out of that 8-game winning streak, whether it was, you know, the games made up in the division, whether it was, you know, this momentum toward maybe a playoff push, or if it was just the hope for the fan base, pretty much all of that's gone by now after a couple of weeks of just giving it all back.
No, absolutely. And it's frustrating. And just like we had talked off air, it kind of feels like a final stand type situation. I know there is a lot of head to head that goes into it, but you would feel a lot better in a head to head matchup if the bullpen roles were solidified and if it just seemed like they had an uptick of anything going. Just like we've said all year, and you know, I'm on record of saying here that I really felt that they could be dangerous and they could get in the playoffs because their starting pitching is so good. Well, as we've seen in the past 2 weeks, it's just not where it was. There's going to be, you know, we'll hear quite a bit about it. It just has a lot of miles and, you know, they had to carry the team, had to go so many innings, but, gazoon tight. But, it's just been tough to watch. Walker almost looked helpless tonight, and that's a little bit scary, especially with all the question marks that could be coming in the 2018, you know, rotation and all those issues. It's they're pretty helpless right now, and it's kind of scary. And I'm not real sure how telling it is with Leak going tomorrow, but I'm not sure how much confidence anybody has in that. And you know, we all wanted to see Flaherty. I think we wanted to see a name that wasn't Mike Leak on there. Mm-hmm. And the ball club's just not ready for that. And it kind of goes back to what you and I talked about is I think they had a plan for 2017 for better or worse, and they are not going to change it. And, you know, that's where we are. Flaherty seems more important to Memphis than he does to St. Louis right now. And that may tell us everything we need to know.
Well, it's probably accurate. I talked to Kyle as part of our show, our bonus show that we ran last night about the minors, and we were talking about, of course, talking about Flaherty and maybe others that could get that promotion, for Mike Leake. And as I said back then, it really kind of somewhat may depended on how this team did. You know, if the team had been able to win a couple of those games against the Padres, you know, maybe cut that lead to 3.5, 2.5, then maybe you bring up Flaherty for that little extra kick and hope that that's enough to spark a team. But, you know, they didn't. They're down, you know, 4.5 games. It's probably going to stay that way unless a ninth inning rally. And that's only because the Cubs somehow got blown out by the Phillies tonight. It just feels like there's no particular reason to go that extra mile on Flaherty, especially when you have to add him to the 40-man. You know, I know Mo said something about limiting his innings. He's going to pitch, unless they're pulling him early from starts down in Memphis over the next, you know, week or so, until they get to the playoffs. I mean, he's still going to put up some innings. He's just going to do it at Memphis. I don't know how much that, you know, works out, but whatever. But, you know, they could have even done John Gant, which, you know, is nothing exciting, but he's on the 40-man. He could have easily taken that spot. Mike Leake, and they're not going to do it. They're going to let Mike Leake pitch. You know, I think that, you know, you have talked a lot about a lack of urgency, and I think that that's something that the team has really kind of struggled with this year. But when you, you know, when you go lose 2 out of 3, to the Padres, when you're losing this game, when you're going to run Mike Leake out there, it just feels like you're already playing out the string, already here at the end of August, and September's not going to be much more than just, you know, maybe a few prospects here and there, but it's just going to be kind of marking time until the end of the season.
Yeah, it just seems like they're not going to make, you know, I would like to see some of these guys. I think we all would just to basically light a fire and see if it, you know, to add a little bit, just due to that stale roster that we've talked about all year long. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. I just don't think that, I don't think they have any plans of that. I think that they're going to let them pitch in their, or pitch and play in the affiliated, you know, playoff races, and we'll just kind of see how this goes. And it could be boring, you know, in the next month or so. You know, I know we're writing them off early. I just don't see it. And that's one of the reasons I kind of wanted to see Flaherty. And I get it. I know he's a year away from even needing to be on the 40 man, and that plays a role. That you don't have to protect him at least for a year, you know, so I fully expect him to make that, to make his debut next year. But, you know, I just need to see, I'd like to see some life. I'd like to see a couple new faces up and, you know, see what it does to you, but just doesn't seem like that's in the works.
No, and it's funny because I'm watching this, we watched this game tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about Michael Walker here in a little bit, but, you know, him leaving early left a lot of innings for the bullpen to cover, and the bullpen has been covering a lot of innings a lot lately. And so Ryan Sheriff comes in, makes his major league debut, and pitches 3 innings, which he hasn't pitched 3 innings. I think Kyle put up like,
yeah, it's like over almost a full calendar year.
Yeah. I mean, that's not his game. And yet Matheny ran him out there for three, and to some degree because, you know, didn't have much option. I know O wasn't available last night. I assume he's available tonight. But Tyler Lyons has gone the last couple of nights. I don't figure they'd throw him. And like I said, with the loss of Rosenthal, the whole bullpen's kind of a mess anyway. But you know, as exciting and as fun as it was to see Ryan Sheriff come up, and he pitched very well tonight in those 3 innings, I can almost guarantee you that he's sent back tomorrow.
I completely agree. Know. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, as much as I like to see the 3 scoreless and it was good for him, it signed his way out of there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He'll be in Memphis tomorrow because they're going to have to make bullpen moves tomorrow.
Yeah. And I imagine that's where we'll see Gant.
It
come up, a guy that can throw innings because, you know, Mike Leake is going tomorrow, as we talked about. And if you expect Mike Leake to go more than, you know, if he can go 5 innings, I think we're impressed. And there's a real solid chance that he doesn't make it out of the third or doesn't make it out of the fourth, and you've got to have some arms back there. So, you know, as much as I hate it for Sheriff, and I'm sure we'll see him again. I mean, there's so many people that have come up and down this year that if they want to bring everybody back when rosters expand, that's going to be a full clubhouse. But I'm sure he'll be back for that. But it just feels like, yeah, either he's going down for Gant or they're activating Sechrist. That's one of the two.
Yeah, that was my next guest. I'm actually turned away from my computer watching the game, so I thought, well, I'll check it on here. But you know, Sechrist, he may not even be on rehab full blown, and they would bring him back. So that would make sense. I would almost expect those to be the names that to go down. They or to come up and they very not super interesting names, but you know, that's exactly what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Sechrist pitched yesterday for Johnson City, I believe.
Okay.
Palm Beach.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Palm Beach allowed a run in an inning, gave up a hit and a walk, allowed a run. Again, you take minor league rehab results to some degree, you always have to, worry about it. You know, you don't give them a whole lot of credit necessarily. But on the other side of things, the Cardinals have proven this year at times that they don't really care what the results are on these kind of things. They're going to bring them up when they want to bring them up. Either they're seeing the process is fine or the results will come or they don't care. I don't know. It just depends on your point of view, I guess, on how they're doing that. But so, I mean, even though he did struggle, he could come up, but it feels like they're probably not one to – I mean, one would probably bring up a guy like Gant, I would think, just because he can go multiple innings for a Sechrist. You wouldn't want Sechrist to do that anyway, but especially not right after an injury like that. So, we've talked about, Leak, and, we've talked about Leak last time, but it just, I was a little surprised it took him so long to decide that this week. They didn't say until today, I think, really, for final, that Leak was going to start. There was, he's one of the options. It's blah, 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 blah. They were not fairly non-committal for a guy that was in the rotation all year long. If Leak struggles next time, or struggles tomorrow, I mean, if he gets, another, four innings, five runs type of game, does he make the next start? Or is he finally kind of running out of the rope that the Cardinals are going to give him for this season?
You think that would have to be the situation. And even if it were a Wainwright return that's what I think will probably happen if Lee continues to struggle. Or if it would be Gant from here on out and they piece it together, how they're going to do it. I would think that would be it. I'm a little surprised he's making this one, especially with the options that they have. And I don't even mean Flaherty. I mean the options of the 10-day DL, which other teams have completely taken advantage of. You know what I mean? And that sounds bad, not taking advantage of it, but utilizing it like, I don't know if it was intended to, but that you can. That's in the rules to do it. Mm-hmm. And they just have it. And I don't know. I mean, I just don't think he gives you your best chance to win. And you'd think that the players would see that a little bit, but I don't know. And they don't make the decisions either. So it's kind of a head scratcher how everything's going. So yeah, I mean, if he has a start tonight, start tomorrow, like Waka does tonight, I mean, I just don't think there's any way you can bring him back that quick. You got to figure something out on that one. But, I'm afraid that he's going to pitch just well enough to where he will earn another start and that'll kind of be status quo, the rest of the way out.
Yeah, the only saving grace is it looks like with the fact that there's an off day Monday, his next start would be on September 1st. So rosters expand, you can bring people up. Either you can bring up somebody else to make the start without much trouble, or you at least have enough bullpen arms that he can, maybe if the first sign of trouble in the second inning or whatever, you have enough people to go to cover the game if necessary. I don't know. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how he does tomorrow. Now, you're right. After so much talk, after so many bad outings when he got to this point, it's kind of the way baseball works or how stories work that he's going to wind up throwing, seven innings and one run ball, or something like that. I mean, that's just,
That's almost what I expect to happen tomorrow. Or, you know, he'll go five or six, allow two or three and keep him in the game.
Yeah.
And that gives them all the ammunition in the world to keep him out, keep him in the rotation for a little while.
Yeah. And again, I mean, once the roster is expanded, it makes it a lot easier. But until then, I mean, it's difficult to take him out because you do have to have a DL spot. And, you know, I know that is easier to do that, or especially with 10 days, but I mean, you do have to, you know, kind of prove that he's injured. And I don't know if you can, you know, I don't know how much tired arm or things of that nature get to play into it, but, I think that's kind of factored it in. Now, like I said, going forward, it's not a big deal because, you know, they have enough people, they can just let him sit there and still be active and not using. It's not a big deal, but, and that may have factored in. It may have been the fact that, look, he's only got to make one more start here. We'll just do this without starting clocks or messing with stuff. And then next time around, you know, we'll do something. But it all really kind of comes back to there isn't a push this year right now. And I don't say that, you know, a lot of people are like, well, the DeWitts, you know, they're just trying to save money. They don't care about the team. And I don't think so. I mean, you could look at what this team looked like the beginning of the year, you know, a lot of people thought it was an 89-90 win team. And if it was an 89 or 90 win team, you know, there's a good, decent chance they take the division with 90 wins. Most likely they're going to be in the playoffs with 90 wins. It just didn't turn out that way. And trying to fix that on the fly is a difficult thing to do. You know, especially when it gets to this point, in the season, there's really not much you can do. I mean, you could go out and get some sort of veteran reliever that's sitting there on the waiver wire or something of that nature, but, you know, is that going to make a difference? Is that worth doing? I mean, if nothing else, it would be a little bit of a boost in the arm or not make Matt Bowman pitch every night, but, you know, it's not likely. The Cardinals can do nothing. The Cardinals can do two or three different things, but odds are at the end of the season, the results are basically going to be the same.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's, they've dug this hole to where they can't, you know, they can't promote some of these guys. And, you know, one of the things that they value is their affiliates winning. And like right here, the Memphis guys, if they're going to leave them in Memphis for a chance to win, they won't be up until the 12th or the 13th at the earliest. Could possibly be the 14th of September, so halfway through the month. So yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of options out there to help. Got to kind of go with what has gotten you here, and that's just not very good. And you know, kind of disheartening 2 years in a row. But and I agree with you. You know, around the it's not like they're mailing in the season, but their hands are kind of tied in ways to improve.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, like I said, I just think that there's sometimes where you dispassionately look at what this team is and say, look, there's just not, it's not there. I mean, you know, if they hadn't been so bad to start the season, if they hadn't done this or that, you know, maybe, but they did, and you know, they got to where they're at. You know, if it wasn't for that 8-game winning streak, you know, nobody's talking about anything. You know, it's just the way it is, unfortunately. And we're just kind of stuck. Now, we've talked a lot about the rotation. Before we leave that, let's talk about Michael Wacha. Last time out, Wacha gave up 5 runs, and we talked about it, I think. But, you know, he came back after the rain delay. He gave up all 5 runs in that second inning right after he came back. And so you could at least say, hey, you know, it's not good, but, you know, probably the rain delay played a lot into that. You know, maybe he shouldn't have come back out after the rain delay, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, then tonight, he looked about as bad as he has been. And I'm going to pull up his stuff here while I'm talking to kind of look at this game loss, because he's had a pretty good, decent stretch. But this is, yeah, you know, tonight was what, 3, let's pull that box score up real quick. Tonight's 3.1 innings, 5 earned runs. Last time out, 4 innings, 5 earned runs. Time before that, 5 innings, 4 earned runs. You go back to the Royals game, it was 6 and 3. You know, at first start of the season, it was 4 and 1, but that's, you know, Matheny pulled him a little early on that one, just, because there was a chance to, you know, to drive in a run that didn't happen. You know, August has not been kind to him. July was pretty good, except for one start, but, you know, you start to wonder, you know, is this back to, you know, are we back to this? Is Walke just gonna, you know, he can run some good starts together, but he just can't hit it. Is he fading with the season coming? You know, what's the deal? I know earlier in the year when he was doing this, we were afraid he was hurt, and that didn't seem to be the case. But you know, is there a solution, or is it just a couple of bad games in a row?
Well, you have to ask those questions. You know, what I mean, you have it's crazy because now he doesn't seem hurt. I mean, he hit 98 on the gun a couple times tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his effectiveness. It's his command. I mean, he throws hard. He's got the great changeup, but the second and third time through the order gives him issues. And he has a hard time getting guys out. And people are really comfortable in the box against him. And it's concerning. You know, that's, even when we talked on Monday and we tried to do it last Friday, that was had kind of gone into my Lynn issues of, man, he's one of the big question marks. And I just think they have so many. And it really concerns me with him because I want him to be the guy we saw in 13 so bad. You know, that's the thing, is him just single-handedly out-pitching the Dodgers in that series and you know, coming through, you know, series MVP and pitching well in the World Series until he ran out of gas. And we so badly want him to be that pitcher. But now you wonder, he is, you know, next year is his last year of arbitration. And they went ahead and took him to arbitration last year, the first one in what, 14, 13?
Since 99.
13 years. Yeah, it had been a while. Mm-hmm. So, it just makes you wonder what the future holds for him. I don't think it will be in St. Louis, and I just wonder if it's going to be next year. So, you know, I don't know. The future is a little bit scary as far as the big league roster goes, but you know that the future's bright with what's coming. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's a tough time right now. And I truly feel sorry for Walke. I mean, he has all the tools to be a stud. And I was thinking he would be that 1A ace eventually, but just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I mean, this has happened every year since 13 where he has really hit a wall in the second half, and you know that's a pattern that you just don't see changing.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, with all that goes into Walke, you know, I don't know. I mean, but the problem is, you know, what's his trade value? What's people going to give for him because of that whole all those issues? As the Cardinals finished the game. Losing 7-3 to the Rays, and not.
And that's two more runs off Cecil.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the. And we'll get to the bullpen in a minute, but you know, Cardinals lose, do not get a chance to pick up on ground on Chicago, do not get a chance to pick up ground on Colorado, and we'll see if they lose ground to Milwaukee or to Arizona. Those are still up in the air, but you know, it just. I know, it's just, you know, what would anybody give for him? Because otherwise he's got to be in your rotation next year, unless you can put him in with something else, and there's no way you can sell with anything but, you know, 40, 50% of what he used to be worth.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what you do with him. I mean, I don't think there's anything you can do with him except for, you know, leave him out there unless you want to look at him being... You know, there's some people that have suggested him being the closer next year.
Sure.
And if his shoulder could hold up to that, I don't think that's a terribly bad thing to think about and see if how his stuff plays. But it's going to be, like you said, it's just got to be command. I mean, that's a huge thing for him.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, we had heard think about it. After the first year, it was like, okay, well, it was a shoulder injury in 14 whenever he fell apart. And then in 15, it was a, hey, let's work on those mechanics and strengthen. But for 16, it was a complete, let's do a whole body overhaul and let's see what we can do. And he makes the rotation. This year, you know, it's, we wonder if it's going to be he or Reyes, but we knew, you know, I remember you and I talking in January that if Walker can throw one ball across the plate, he wins that job, you know, over Reyes. And then it comes that we were verified on that, and the fact that that Reyes was going to be in the bullpen regardless of how his elbow had, even if a healthy elbow, he would have been in the bullpen. Uh-huh. So we've heard all these reasons and all these solutions to get Michael Walker back to what they think he was going to be, and it's just never worked out. And I personally think that he's got that 1-2 pitch combination that could be lethal in the bullpen. I mean, it's, I don't even know if you were listening to the, Weaver start yesterday, but they made a comment about, or you would have been 2 days ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Whenever he was throwing and Horton had actually quoted Weaver saying that he really liked being in the bullpen because he could come in and air it out. And then Horton actually said, I'd never seen him hit 97. You know, mm-hmm. We didn't know that he really had that. I think Walker could do that. I think he could go out there and hit 98, 99 miles an hour, and then that changeup, you know, if he's got his command, and it's not as pivotal in that situation when you see guys second and third time through the order. You get them once, maybe twice, if you can go in a plus inning save, you could be pretty lethal. I mean, he's got the combination to work. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think it would work out, but I think they made it clear when we were there for the meeting with Mozeliak that's probably not going to happen. And I think it's one of those that they don't want to tell him that. You know, they don't want to, in his final year of arbitration, they don't want to tell him that he's going to have to move to the bullpen and he hurt his value at all. So I think they're being a little overcautious on that. And I mean, I think it would really help the ball club if they would make that move or at least look at it because they're definitely going to need a closer next year.
Yeah, and in necessity may provoke those conversations, because as I was talking to Kyle, there are no closers in waiting in the minor league system. If they're gonna put one that's gonna be homegrown, it's gonna be a converted starter. You know, I suggested earlier in the week maybe Alex Reyes, and I mean that there's questions about whether you'd want to do that, how much of his availability would be after the Tommy John, but you know, you think about, you know, the workload is probably fine because you think about Adam Wainwright, who started back, you know, right after his Tommy John. And he struggled some, and maybe that's where you don't want a closer there, but it feels like, you know, it gives him a chance to get under his feet, but, you know, would he be available back-to-back days? Blah, blah, blah. Who knows? But it's going to have to be somebody like that. Dakota Hudson, if it's going to be, you know, Sandy Alcantara, if it's going to be, you know, Michael Walker, it's going to have to figure out something. Because it doesn't feel, I mean, you know, you can, the odds of them going to get a closer are pretty slim. You know, we continue to talk about needing that big bat. But,
I'm anti pay big for a closer. That's, you know what I mean? I, especially one from out of the division, just because we see how finicky that position is. You know, there's the good, then there's the drastic bad, then there's the injury, and this, you know, I just think that I don't know. There's so many variables in play, and I think you can always find a closer. Not necessarily in this situation for the Cardinals because, you know, their hands are tied. I mean, they're right at the end of the year. You had your dominant guy. Your bullpen was setting up, and then all things fell apart right at the end of the season when your affiliates are probably better than you are and you can't promote and you don't have any bullpen pieces down there to come in and do it. They tried to do it with Lucas. He's their save leader down there, and it, worked, I guess, per se. Didn't pitch really well. He's not fooling any guys up here, but that's kind of the natural progression of it. I mean, I think that you're going to see a combination next year of a Reyes / Lions. You know, if they don't go out and get somebody involved in a trade. Mm-hmm. At this point right now, where we thought that they were going to go out and make a big splash, as in a deal for a controllable bat at some point, I don't know. I think it's starting to lean more where they're going to go get a pitcher. And it may be, I'm sure Lynn's in the conversation, but this all kind of leads me to believe that they're going to try to make a deal to bring in somebody controllable with a history. And, I haven't even gone down the names of who that may be, but that they're not going to go into next year with the question marks they have now. And if that were to bring in a starter and a reliever, that would make a lot of sense. And if they made the splash money wise for a bat, I could see it being a free agent. And my opinion has changed on that, and will probably change on that by the end of the season. But I just think there's way too many question marks in a future rotation right now for them to go forward with what they currently have.
And that's fair. It's just, you know, like I've said, you know, we've talked about those questions are there. There's concern, but there's not a lot you can do. You know, Carlos Martinez is fine. You know, Adam Wainwright. What are you going to get out of Wainwright? Well, I don't know, but he's going to be a starter next year.
Sure.
You know, Mike Leake. Mike Leake may be terrible next year. Good chance that he'll be terrible this year if this keeps up. But he's going to be a starter next year because, I mean, you know, if even nothing else, there's no trade clause. There's no way. He's not going anywhere. You know, it could be that you could free up a spot by moving Michael Walker to the bullpen, but, you know, if not, he's going to be in that rotation next year. Then you've got, you know, got guys like Luke Weaver that could take a spot. You've got Alex Reyes who might take that spot come, you know, All-Star break. You know, I guess the problem I have is just, yeah, there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of ifs, but it's just so locked in that you can't really, without some significant outside the box, shake it up, you know, trade off a couple of guys type of thing. There's just not, doesn't feel to me like there's much you can do with that. Now, I guess we'll see. Now, like we said, Trevor Rosenthal out for the year, out for probably all of next year too with Tommy John surgery. You know, we saw Zach Duke come back after like, what, 9 months, and Rosenthal might be able to be back by August or so of next year, but the problem I've always heard with Tommy John is it takes a while to get command. Well, what, you know, Trevor's issue is command in the first place. So, you know, I'd like to see him maybe get another inning or two as a Cardinal and maybe go out with a little bit, but there's also a strong chance the Cardinals just non-tender him this offseason, isn't there? I mean, you know, instead of trying to go through arbitration or signing to a new deal?
No, I would think so. That's I think all signs point to that. They can be pretty heartless in those situations, you know. And teams generally have to do that. He's an interesting case because I thought all along that I was like, I don't know if they're going to play the game that Boris wants to play. You know, I don't know if they're going to do that. But I did think they would approach him about maybe signing him to an extension just because of him being such a part of the family at this point. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
That it would be, but I don't know if it's in the, I would like to see him pitching. I would like to see him be here long, to pitch here long term. I've never thought that was going to happen anyway. So I'm not so sure if I want them to even approach him about some kind of fluffer contract where they're going to pay him for a year of nothing just to get him for that year plus or maybe that 2 years plus before he can cash out again for his big payday. So I don't know. That doesn't seem like that's the way they want to do it. I think that they do have money set aside to make some plays for stuff, but I don't think it's that. I think they're going to go big with whatever they do. And then that goes into the next question of do we trust that that's going to happen? So in a long, I danced around that the whole time. I would, something tells me that they work something out, but I just don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, it's a decent possibility, but I don't know. I mean, I can easily see they've got some 40-man issues anyway this offseason. Yeah, I could just see them. And again, for all that Trevor Rosenthal has done for this organization, it does not ever feel like they've completely been enamored with him. You know, they have not signed him to a long-term deal. We really thought that they were going to do that last year, and instead they just signed another one-year deal that, you know, kept them from going to arbitration, but that was about it. You know, they didn't sign him to a 2-3 year long extension, and maybe they were worried about the risks or whatever. I don't know, but it just never felt like they were quite 100% confident in him. Not like, you know, like Stephen Piscotty gets a contract, you know, after this year, and others have gotten contracts fairly early, or at least when arbitration comes up, they sign them, you know, to a deal that buys out some of those years. They haven't done that with Rosenthal. So, you know, that may be what his standing is in the organization, and that might lead to a non-tender, but that's something we're going to have to see. But we have to get there first, and right now, boy, we've kind of talked about it. What do you do in the ninth inning? You know, Mike Matheny came out and said that they have no roles right now, which is somewhat interesting because, you know, that's kind of the sabermetric thought is you just mix and match all the time. You don't worry about roles. But then the other side of that is these players need roles to be effective. But right now it just seems like you never know, except for the fact that Matt Bowman's going to pitch just about every day, you really never know who's going to come out and who's going to do what. You just know it's got a strong chance of not being any good.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. I mean, it's one of those where you and I laughed about this almost all season, where, you know, I'd be calling for Rosenthal to come into the fourth inning in games just because you're just like, I don't trust anybody else to get this out. That's exactly how I feel about Tyler Lyons right now. To where, like, tonight I was thinking, man, throw him for three innings if you have to. You know, it was one of those. If it would have been instead of a 5-2 game, if it would have been a 3-2 game, I would have been all over that. But, you know, just didn't happen. And he's the only one I have confidence in right now, which really is sad because earlier in the year I would have said that about Bowman, and Bowman's in trouble. You know, it's one of those to where you would think that he's next in line today. And it was funny, Mark Saxon was on hosting the Bernie show this morning. And he actually said that. He goes, well, we'll see all of Bowman's performances this year, and then next year he'll have his Tommy John. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those. And that's a scary thought because they just use him so much. And it's very scary right now. I'm glad that they're trending down to where they could kind of figure it out. Now, no one's letting them out of it. So if they catch fire again, which neither of us think that's going to happen, but if they do, they can win some games, but that's going to have to be solidified. I mean, Cecil even said that, and everybody, when they hear that, is going to think, well, he's just making an excuse. But he mm-hmm. clearly said, he goes, we have no roles.
Yeah.
He said it's just kind of, you know, here and there. And Matheny kind of said that. He goes, I don't know where to throw the guys. We're just trying to get big outs. And, you know, he gave it the spin that he always does.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what the first guess is on that. And I would prefer Lyons to do it. Just because he's the only one that seems to be able to strike people out and get outs. And I've always liked him. And I know you have. I have zero confidence in. Mm. You know, he's figured out. Bowman, like I said, he's just overused. Brebbia, I mean, I like, but you still have to think that that's how much is flashing in the pan there, as mm-hmm. much as you want him to succeed. Duke has seemed to have hit a wall.
Yeah.
You know, Cecil clearly has. Tui Vilala doesn't get a lot of guys out, and that may be for lack of confidence from the big club, but, you know, it's tough for me to, you know, forever they thought if he ever had a second pitch, well, he doesn't throw as hard as he used to, and I'm sure that's he's coached to just don't go out and bring everything you have and start doing this and this and this, and he's not super effective. So I don't know. I mean, talk about question marks in the rotation for this year, next year. The bullpen's worse.
Yeah, there's a lot there. You know, Lyons didn't pitch tonight because he pitched two games in a row.
Sure.
Partly. I mean, he's thrown 3 days before, but not for any extended period of time. So I think that's part of it. And that was kind of what it boiled down to. I mean, tonight, you know, like I said, Walker leaves early, and you know you don't have a guy like Lyons available, and, you know, you don't trust anybody else. That's why Sheriff went three innings. And I'm glad he did well. It's great to see. I mean, because Lucas pitched okay, like you said, but he never had some really strong innings. You know, Sheriff went three scoreless. I mean, that's great. Unfortunately, it didn't matter. But it kept the team in the game, and I guess that's all you can ask for. But, I'm kind of like you. It's like, you know, for a while there, I was feeling pretty good about Zach Duke against lefties, you know, coming in and get that tough out. Not anymore. You know, whether that's the Tommy John, you know, recovery talking or if they've, you know, just kind of gotten to him, I don't know. You know, O was doing well against righties, and then the last two or three times out, feels like righties have hit him harder than lefties have. You kind of throw a dart for the most part. You know, Bowman has done well, and he was talking about it apparently before the game. You know, he feels fine, all that kind of stuff, but yeah, you just, you know, you look at the kind of some of the guys that, that Mike Matheny has had dealt with and what they've done after they, you know, Kevin Zegras has never quite been the same since he led the league in innings or in appearances. It just feels like there's a good chance that Bowen's, they're going to use him and kind of wind up tossing him away. I mean, he'll be on the roster next year, but, you know, what will you get out of him? That's going to be a very interesting thing to see. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. As you've said, it's going to take some significant work this offseason. But, you know, on the other side of that, what are they going to do? I mean, you know, it's just not that it feels real easy for us to say, oh, they should do this or, oh, they should do that or whatever. And, you know, those things, you know, one, may not work. Two, oftentimes require another team to be involved, so they have to, you know, deal with negotiating with them. And three, you know, even if it's free agents, you gotta, you know, hope the player's sold into it. It's not just wave your magic wand to do this. And I think that's, it feels like sometimes people think that. It's just like, oh, well, they should do this, this, and this. Well, yeah, they know they should do this, this, and this, but how are they gonna be able to do that? And how can they get that without giving up so much that they're creating another hole? It's a balancing act that, that for the most part, the front office has done a fairly good job at. But I will say that, you know, lack of activity at this trade deadline, a kind of quiet winter last year, a slow deadline the year before. I mean, it gets to the point where you start wondering if, can they really be active? Can they do what they were saying and turn over 60% of the 40 man? You know, can they make some deals? Can they sign some agents, free agents? You know, can they put a better team on the field? And, you know, if they can't for 2018, then yeah, there's some significant questions that are going to have to be asked and answered. But I think as much as they probably would have liked to make it to the 18 postseason or the 18 offseason without having to do anything crazy, because then you could have a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado or whoever else is out there, they don't have that option. They're going to have to do something this winter, and I just don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. They'll be active. But you're right. I mean, it's just changed. You know, the trading of big league players and all that has become difficult. I was looking after you and I talked about it earlier this week about, you know, some of the 40 man roster, the changeover mm-hmm. that's been discussed. Mm-hmm. If you look at it though, they could do significant 40 man, movement and that not really involve a lot of, you know, outside change.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at that. I was like, you know, you're going to have to add some of these guys. Like we talked about earlier, Flaherty doesn't have to be added until next year. He was on that 18-5, I think, of 5-year plan. Well, regardless, I know that he's at least has 1 year left before he needs to get put on until next year it was. But there's a lot of it to where, you know, I'm not pulling, or I'm kind of looking around here to pull it back up. I should have had it ready, but yeah, there's three or four names that right off the top of your head won't be back anyway.
Oh, sure.
You know, so there's definitely going to be movement, and they can beat it at their word by saying a lot of that movement is, there's going to be major 40 man roster movement, but you know, that's just for instance, I just don't see a situation where they go to camp next year with Bader, Fowler, Gritchick, Pham, Piscotty, and Sierra. Do you?
No, and
And maybe two of those names already, you can eject that. Mejia, probably not going to be back. You know, that's Valera, I would see that would probably be about the end of them. And, you know, your five names right there, and that wasn't very hard. So, you know, not saying that we thought that they're BS in any way, but you know, he could be true and there not be a lot of outside, influence on that.
It's,
again.
And I agree. I think there is definitely this idea that they could, you know, be technically correct, which is the best kind of correct. And get rid of guys. I mean, they got a Sean Gilmartin on there who may
probably,
you know, he's not going to go. You know, Mac Myers goes off. Probably you could let Josh Lucas go back off.
Won't be back.
Yeah, won't be back. Lynn might not be back.
Rosenthal may not make a difference on the 40-man next year.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
that's
you've got to have him. Yeah, you'd have to. Well, if it's on tendering, then yeah, he won't be. I mean, no. They could do that, but I don't think they're at a spot where they can jump behind this idea of, well, you know, we did this kind of turnover. Well, you know, if you're just removing minor leaguers and the 25-man roster basically stays the same, nobody's going to care that you rotated 15 minor leaguers onto your 40-man roster. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you're going to have to shake up the current club. And so I think they know that. I think that they realize. I don't think that they're going to try to say, well, you know, we changed all these players. Well, yeah, but we never saw most of those guys in the first place, or they weren't guys that were interesting to us in the first, you know, you're still running out the same lineup. You're right. I think they're going to do more than that. They really have to, to put a decent product on the field, because again, you know, this is a fan base that has gotten spoiled. I don't think there's another word for it. They missed the playoffs in 07 and 08. Before that, it was 97 through 99. But for the last 20 years, you know, they're in the playoffs, you know, 80% of the time. They don't miss it back to back years. They've just done that a couple times. And, you know, people are not going to stand still for it for the most part. And, you know, that's sure. What Mosey Luck has talked about. You know, it's fun to work in St. Louis because the fans are passionate, but sometimes it's tough to work in St. Louis because the fans are passionate, you know, and that's just what you've got to do. And, you know, again, hopefully, I'm sure they've already, you know, started setting some things in motion and setting some foundations, and hopefully this is a winter where we're writing three or four different trade reviews, and, you know, we're talking about them being tied to at least a few free agents, but until we get there and until we see that, you know, one, you just kind of stuck with this team playing out the string, but two, you just got to trust that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's, and they'll be in on a lot of, perception-wise, they're going to be in on quite a few free agents. I would like to say Martinez, JD, that is, but, you know, they're going to have to clean some outfield clutter for that.
Right.
You know, Cozart, I'm not sure, is an upgrade. And I think it, at this point, I think it's safe to assume that DeYoung's your shortstop next year.
Especially to start with.
Exactly. And that's kind of, I think that has a lot. What tells me is the fact that Diaz is playing other positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, and I hope he comes back at some point. You know, you and I had talked about this. You know, there's going to be three big free agents come out of Kansas City. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, a lot of people will say unfortunately at this point, first base is tied up.
Mm.
You know, so Hosmer's not going to be one of them. Moustakas is a name that I would like. You're going to hear a lot of he's not that much better than Jericho, but I mean, I think he is. And I mean, he's not the elite defender that he used to be, but he's still really good. And then that way you can maybe move your, if Jericho doesn't move in a deal, you can either have Jericho or Diaz as being your super sub at that point, and you can fill out a roster and that makes you better. But I still think they're going to have pitching issues that they're going to have to clear up. I think that'll probably have to happen by trade if they don't bring Lynn back. And, you know, you're going to have to clear up bullpen issues.
Yeah.
That's just more question marks of, you know, the guys that you're putting in minor league starters to fill out the big league bullpen, which that is kind of their MO a little bit, but I think that they're going to look for a lockdown guy. And I mean, that bullpen right now, one of their main issues is they lack strikeouts. They've got to go out and get somebody that can strike guys out.
Well, we've talked about it before the last couple of years. Maybe it was, you know, we've done it other times, but it does start to feel like this roster is a little stale. You know, a lot of guys we thought going into this year they had to get rid of a Grichuk or they had to get rid of a Muscotti or they had to get rid of somebody after they signed Dexter Fowler, and they didn't. You know, we've talked about them needing to clear up spots for these young guys coming up in the rotation, and they've not done it. you know, I think that bill comes due.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to talk about it now, but, you know, if they're not going to be active like that, then there's some significant issues to discuss, so.
I'm a Grichuk guy, and I feel like Grichuk will be gone. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel that way with Bader and Sierra as well. You know, one or the other, if not both,
yeah,
be involved in some deal. You know, they've got depth. I think O'Neill, the O'Neill acquisition makes a lot of these guys vulnerable to trade. You know, that's, if they wouldn't have made that deal and they just kind of stood pat, I was like, well, maybe only one of them. But to go and flip Gonzalez for him and immediately put him in AAA and tout his power ability of having that 3-4 hitter that's mm-hmm. finally in the system, he's going to play at some point. So I think that makes the other guys really, they may, I don't think they'll be, a combination of that group won't be with the big league club next year. And just like we talked about, any Piscotty deal is going to be a trade to benefit Piscotty. That'll probably be mm-hmm. a West Coast type situation. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts. I mean, I think there has to be.
Yeah.
Attrition will make up for a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be some, but there probably needs to be some very dramatic or very noticeable ones to make anybody feel good. You know, that's about it. I mean, the Cardinals, again, you know, right now sit at 500. If they want to win, they'll have to go what? I think there's 34 games left, so they'd have to go 19-15 to make sure they finish above 500. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Alan, if you were just to say right now whether this team would finish with 82 wins or not, what would you say?
Oh, man, that'd be about the limit. 82, 83 is about all I can see them doing. And that, at this point, as bad as the pitching is and as bad as the bullpen is, it would not surprise me if they bottomed out. You know, like we were talking before before the show, it wouldn't surprise me if Tampa were to sweep this series. And that could really put you in some trouble because you got the off day and then you go to you have the two in Milwaukee and then you go to the West Coast and on those trips are brutal.
Yeah.
And you know, San Diego has shown that they're better than what their record is because they've got all the new guys up and they're hungry and they're playing for spots next year. And San Francisco is basically doing the same thing. And, you know, it always worries me to go to AT&T, you know, so it's a scary time. I mean, as far as I think we've accepted the fact that this is probably going to be kind of the end of the run for this year and it may be a moot point anyway, but they may go out there and lose, you know, 5 out of 7 real easy. And if you get beat you get whooped this weekend, well then you're looking at having trouble, you know, getting over 75 wins real quick.
Yeah, and hopefully that won't be the case. But you know, they're kinda, I don't know who's going for Tampa tomorrow night, but they're gonna be kind of in a...
Well, it's Snell who they've been disappointed in, mm-hmm. you know, and it's one of those, but you know, I don't know if anything matches the disappointment than what a lot of us in our league, where it's almost to the point where we kind of feel bad for him. So, you know, I don't know. And, you know, he's a left-handed, you know, they face a lefty, which they, you know, typically don't perform well. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Snell's 2-6, 4.42 ERA. See what he did last time out. Last time out, he threw 7 scoreless innings against the Mariners, and actually has pitched, for the most part, pretty well in August.
I remember last week's game now, because he is, let me look, okay, he's from around Seattle, because I remember that was a big deal. I was like, you know, what's the situation on that? And I remember reading that headline last week, which may not mean anything, but that's a little extra motivation. So that's one of those starts to where he's either turned the corner and he's going to eat him up,
yeah,
or he's going to come back to earth.
And honestly, so. I mean, he gave up 6 runs in May to the Red Sox, went on the DL, I think, looks like, if you look at this gap, came back, he gave up 6 runs to Pittsburgh. But since then, he's been pretty solid. There's been a couple of games where he's only made it through the fourth. But for the most part, he's been fairly solid. So it could be a difficult situation. And then you got, you know, what, Sunday's game. The Cardinals should run out Lance Lynn, right? So you kind of feel decent, I think, about your chance there. But, yeah, I mean, it's bad because we were talking about the Cardinals needing to win, you know, at least 4 out of these 6 and hopefully 5. Well, you know, at best now they're going to be able to split this series, these 2 series, and that's just not good enough. And that's just, you know, it's.
And yeah, very tough road trip.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get any.
Yeah, that tough road trip. And then as soon as you get back from that road trip, you're playing all inside the Central. Which is good if you can win, but, you know, if you can't, you lose ground real quick. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think, you know, September is going to be just interesting of the new guys that come up or some of these guys we didn't get to see much and who gets to play when and see, you know, if Carson Kelly gets a chance to play in the September or if Yadier Molina plays every day till they get eliminated. I don't know, but,
Kelly can't
hit anyway, so. Well, yeah, I mean, he's struggled, and then part of that is, you know, just not playing.
Play.
I mean, it's not all of it. I don't think it's all of it, but yeah, he's not going to get any better unless he gets that regular time, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, it looks like Blake Snell has a bobblehead coming up in September, so, you know, I guess he can't be that bad off, you know, if you're going to get your own bobblehead. So.
He's a keeper.
That's right. No. That's right, so. All right, well, we've gone getting close to an hour here. Al, is there anything else that we should touch on before we end it?
I don't think so. I think we're good. We're covering a lot of pitching right now, which I didn't think would be the issue.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, I ran the numbers, and since the All-Star break, the offense is putting up about 5 runs a game. I will say, I guess maybe we should talk about it a little bit. You know, there's the Tommy Pham fan club. Which is a significant amount of people, don't get me wrong. Although some are more, what's the word I'm trying to say? Seems to be less accepting of faults, maybe, of Pham than maybe some other players, whatever. And vice versa. I mean, Pham's earned earned probably all the rope he can get. But, you know, a lot of people have been complaining since Stephen Piscotty came back that, you know, they were all worried about Tommy Pham not getting to play, and he has sat, you know, what, twice this week. He sat on Sunday. He sat today. You know, I was looking at it for the blog, though, and he had 3 out of the last 4 games. He's been hitless. So. Sorry, just a second.
Well, and, you know, it's and I kind of think just my 2 cents on this. You know, I know he hurt his foot, and, you know, up until this year we thought he was made of glass, though. I thought he was going to set for a while. But hit into 3 double plays, you know, that may earn you. Now, I know it's not, and it's not his all's fault, that's baseball, but that's, you know, that's one of those situations where even if he wasn't hurt and he's set, I wouldn't have complained.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that because you're right. 3 double plays, 0-for-4, and it's a situation. Now, I know I can even hear them say, well, not, you know, XYZ player doesn't have to sit after he's had an 0-for-4 or whatever. And sure, that's true. But we've got currently 4 outfielders. You've got to rotate them some, and if somebody like Pham is going to have, you know, a couple off days, you know, Tommy Pham is pretty much you know, maxing out. You know, he's kind of hitting that level where he hasn't gotten this deep before in a season before or gone this much.
That's a great point. Those are things I leave out a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been hurt. I mean, it's not often he's done this. So for him to hit a little bit of a lull right now, it's not unheard of. It doesn't mean anything against him, and it doesn't hurt for him to have a little bit of rest. Now, I will say, you know, you saw today Stephen Piscotty didn't look that great, although he had, what, one of the five hits that the team had tonight. Randall Grichuk, was it tonight? It was last night that he had the pinch of the home run in the bottom of the inning. But, you know, these guys are, now I wouldn't say they're setting the world on fire, but they're doing well enough that they should get out there some. And I don't think that Tommy Pham's going to sit more than one day in a row. I don't think Tommy Pham's going to sit, you know, more than, you know, two games in a week. But with four outfielders, five outfielders, if you count Jose Martinez, you know, that's just going to have to happen more often. If there were three first basemen on this team, I think you'd have a better case for, you know, Matt Carpenter should sit after, but, you know, Matt Carpenter has a different track record too. And how much does historical track record matter on some things when you're in the middle of a disappointing season? I don't know. I think that's an interesting question. I mean, if Bryce Harper, well, a couple of years ago, Bryce Harper had a down year for him, and I don't remember if it was actually a down year, but it was a down year for him, and the Nationals are going to play him. I mean, they're not going to sit Bryce Harper because they know what Bryce Harper can do, even if he's not doing it right now. There's always that chance that that's the day that it kicks and it clicks. You know, Pham, again, you can argue that he's over his head. And so I don't know that he gets the same treatment. And that's part of it. Part of it is just, you know, what you've done in the past. Now, again, you know, Tommy's got a chip on his shoulder, and rightly so at times. And I'm not saying that he's been treated fairly by Matheny or the organization as a whole. But, again, he's played pretty much all year long since he came up. And I just don't see that it's a big deal that he sat tonight.
No, I don't either. And that's you're gonna hear a lot of that. And I think a lot of it was due to the foot where I would have done it. I probably would have set him anyway, just due to performance last night. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if this is strictly my opinion. I feel pretty strong about this. I think the fan club is gonna be pretty happy next year just because at almost four WAR this year, he's probably their best offensive player. Favorable contract. I think that he's probably your starting left fielder next year. And I think that they give him every chance to perform up to the level that he has this year. I think that he's probably the safest outside of, you know, you have Fowler and his no trade, which I think I like Fowler. And, you know, everybody's going to knock the defensive inefficiencies, but you know, I love the bat. He plays a lot. I think he'll probably lead off again next year, but he's their best middle of the bat option right now. He's safe just because of the no trade, but I think Pham is safe. I mean, he doesn't walk until 22, I don't think. And, that contract's pretty favorable for the production you're getting now. I mean, I don't think that they need to worry about that, about him getting not playing.
And you're probably right. I would say, though, there is an argument, there is a possibility that, you know, Tommy Pham, you know, he's 29, so they could easily sell on him this offseason. Again, I argued earlier in the year, you know, well, around the trade deadline, that you don't trade him now because that's waving a white flag. He's been the best player this year. He's the guy that was really making things go. You trade him in the middle of the season, and people will just say, okay, you're giving up on the season. But you trade him in the off season, that's a totally different story. You know, you look at him, he's got OPS of 132. Now, I will say 2 years ago, he had a 123. So, in theory, it's a little bit in line, although, you know, in significantly less playing time. I mean, he's well past his career, at least major league career. Now, you don't, obviously, he hasn't had as much there, and he's probably done as much in minors. But, you know, he's 400-something plate appearances already this year. You know, hitting .301, slugging .800, you know, OPS of .889. You know, can he keep that up? Is this what Tommy Pham is? Is this something that's going to, you know, regress a little bit next year? I don't know. If he's on this roster, yeah, he's going to start next year. And unless he's really scuffles, we'll probably play almost all year out there. Mm-hmm. But the Cardinals have to clear outfielder somehow.
Yeah,
and no. He may be the one that has the most value. It's not a, you know, I don't know, as soon as they trade him, it's some of the people like, well, he wasn't a Matheny guy, or, you know, they didn't like what he was saying, and blah, 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 blah. I don't know how Tommy Pham comes across in the clubhouse either. I mean, you watch him on these interviews, and unless there's a dry humor that doesn't necessarily come across, there's, I don't want to say arrogance, but it's pretty close to what he says at times. He has a very high opinion of what he can do or what he should be able to do. And that's, you know, you gotta have that confidence. I'm not necessarily knocking him for that. I'm just saying it's not what we're used to hearing. And if that's the kind of approach he takes in the clubhouse, that can rub people the wrong way. I don't know if it does. I mean, everybody may love him. I don't know. I mean, he's fine. But, you know, if he gets traded, I don't think it's because, you know, he wasn't a Matheny guy or, you know, whatever else it may be. I think it's just because they could get the most value out of him, and it made sense to try to sell him when he could.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, it's, you're right. I mean, I don't think anything is off the table at this point. They're going to have to make moves. And, you know, we've got people that we've grown to love, the whole fan base will get moved.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty guaranteed. So, Cardinals finish up the series with the Rays. And then like Alan said, two with Milwaukee before they head out, and they'll start with the Giants. They'll be playing the Giants next year. So next week when we're recording, we'll be doing it as the game is going on again, because we are not going to wait for a West Coast game to be done before we try to record a show. That would be like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's,
yeah.
Most of us, I know Alan can, because he's an Iron Man. He can do these things, but most of us don't make it to the end of these West Coast games anyway. So.
Yeah,
I barely make it to the end of this podcast. So, so until next week, we'll mention that right now, Alan and I and maybe some others are planning a Star Wars podcast that will show up on the Meet Me at Mutual feed. It will be clearly marked. But we're going to keep our Star Wars talk to that. I don't know this is going to be a regular thing, but with the off day coming Monday, we're going to try this out. And, so if you're big on the Star Wars as well, go look for that. If you're not, just skip it when it comes up in your feed. And, Alan and I'll be back with you, next Friday to talk actual Cardinals. So until then, for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!